Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly Atlanta program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Insider, a program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. Each and every week, we bring ministries out to you that's making a difference. Ministries that's reaching out to touch the lives of men and women. Ministries that allow people to know that they have hope, but not hope in anything, but hope in Christ Jesus. The hope that surpasses understanding. We don't ask people why you there, but we say, hey, there's a way to get out. And I am so happy to bring to you this morning a ministry that is making a difference. This ministry is no stranger to Blog Talk Radio Free on the Inside program. They was with us once before. We have seen this ministry in action. I am so happy to bring to you this morning Beat the Street Ministry and a ministry team that's going to tell you what a joy it is to do for those that are less fortunate, to bring them up out of that muck and mire and tell them that God loves them, that they are valuable in the kingdom. So at this time, we have the ministry to come forth and introduce themselves. Good morning, ministry team.
Good morning. Peace be with you, Bill. We're happy to be here.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. You know, you've done this, been on here before. I thought it would be a good thing to bring us, give us an update on it. You know, let our listening audience know where you're at and how you've still been effective in the ministry. I was able to see you a couple of weeks ago, and I was blown away on how the ministry have grown and how God has continually to bless the ministry. So please introduce yourself and the ministry team, and then we'll just go from there.
Indeed. Yes, we're so happy to be back, Joel, for sure. Anytime we have an opportunity to just kind of share what we're doing and, you know, get the word out there for others to be able to join us if interested, we're thankful. We're extremely thankful for that. I have Marisa with us.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Marisa. And we are, man, what have we done since we were on last? Really, you know, we've really kind of done a lot of the same things. As you know, Joel, we started back in 2011, and our main goal when we started then with just a few group of friends, just a few of us friends, was to really get out there, meet the people where they were on the streets, bring them food, bring them services like the health screenings that you've been to, and just to really meet those basic needs of our community.
Hey, man, God bless you.
You want to keep going?
yeah, just keep going. And we'll bring Marisa in here and just continue to share what the ministry is all about.
Okay, all right.
You know, one of the blessings as well is, you know, the impact that it has on the children that we have involved in it as well. So a lot of different programs and volunteer programs and situations like that, you know, you have to be a certain age to help or a certain age to volunteer. But with ours, there's no really age limit or requirement because we're just getting out there and getting in the middle of it and, you know, feeding people or this and that. And the things that it exposes your kids to and the eye-opening things that they see really helps put things in perspective for them as well. Because as you know, kids these days have a little altered world they live in. So it really helps to ground them and let them see just really how good they have it. So in another whole aspect of giving and doing good and ministering, it really feeds you back as well in your own personal life with your own children or grandkids or nieces and nephews or whatever it may be. So it's a really good opportunity if you ever do join us to, you know, volunteer with us on one of our events. It's a really, really good thing for them as well.
Absolutely. With our children being able to be involved with us, I mean, that's our duty. That's what we have to answer to at the end of this life because, you know, we are put in charge over them and to instill in them that this is the Great Commission and we are commanded to do it in Most High's word. It's not something that's just kind of an optional thing, and we definitely don't do it just to feel better. You know, this is something that we are commanded to do. And our children, you know, of course, they learn by seeing. And we set that example for them. So it's just so important. Thank you so much, Marisa, for bringing up that good point. Anyone, you know, you're welcome to bring your children when we do hold our event. We had
go ahead. No, you were just saying something about bringing the children, and I was just thinking about how safe the ministry is and how effective. And our kids and our younger people need to see things like that, because right now the world tells you to get all you can and just take care of yourself. But it's a joy to be able to let our young men know that, and women, that they're going to be successful one day. But that success comes from God, and they'll be able to share make success with other people, not so much as giving things, but just letting people know that God is able to help them out too and be with them during difficult times.
Absolutely. We're blessed to be a blessing, you know, and we have what we have because we also need to share that with others for sure. And we are just continually thankful for the people that the Most High has sent to us for this ministry. Just recently with the health screening we did, you know, I'll admit in the beginning of planning it this year, I had some lack of faith because I was no longer working in the medical community to be able to really get all of those medical professional volunteers that it takes to do an event like this. And, you know, Yahweh made it available for me for Beat the Streets to actually speak to the school just 24 hours before the event. And like you said, Joel, I mean, I know you've mentioned the ministry has grown. We probably had anywhere from 30 to 40 medical professionals there on site to reach what's called Tent City there in Dallas. I think we had over 100 the paperwork, the waivers when we kind of got back is over 100 people that we had been able to serve that day. And it was just amazing and just speaks volumes in faith. And, I mean, he'll make it happen, you know.
Amen. You know, you said you was able to serve about 100 people that day. What kind of items do y'all bring to events like that? So I listen to artists and know that, hey, I think I could do that. I'd like to be a part of something like that. And both of y'all can chime in when you need to.
Absolutely. When it comes down to the items that we need for these events, there's two parts. We need the supplies that it's going to take to actually make the event happen. And we also typically, I would say one out of two events, we hand out what's called just our little hygiene bag, very basic little bag, and comes with deodorant, toothpaste, soap, whether a feminine product or something specifically for the males. So we bring that with us as well as little snack packs. There's typically a feeding that's going on. We try to partner with teams that are doing other things the same day so that, it just makes the ministry that much more fruitful. But we will give those out. So the supplies, on the supply side, we do very basic screenings for the health screening events. So like the glucose testing machines, the glucose monitors, the strips, everything that comes with that, bandages, alcohol swabs, things of that nature. And what we try to do is we try to make a specific flyer for each event that we go to that has these things listed on it. As well as the PayPal link and our Facebook page, our website, and contacts. If it's not like a monetary donation, you're helping hands, you know, just to volunteer for the event. So, Marisa, do you want to add on to that? Or?
I was kind of in and out of that conversation. I think you did some lines getting mixed up or something, so it was placed on hold. But like you said, the amount of things and items that we need are usually posted, you know, or you're usually put out there on the website and whatnot. So we've gotten quite a few volunteers just from that alone, you know, posting things on Facebook or whatnot. Sometimes like, you know, especially when we do just the food missions, those are the really good ones as well, that, you know, people just come out and help. You know, you don't have to be a medical professional. So I think some people are like, oh, well, I'm not in the medical field, so I can't really do anything for them. But you're just being out there and you know, praying with them and handing out hygiene packets and handing out food. Even that alone is just such a good experience. And it goes a long way with them, with anybody, you know, just to know that people care and people are out there and people are encouraging them.
You know what? You said something there. Now, what type of response are you getting from the people that you are sharing the ministry with? Because I know as they live that type of life on the street and disconnected from their families, a lot of them are kind of private and shut up, and they kind of like, don't bother me. So what type of response are you getting as you go out and you sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior, and also giving them things that they can use?
Well, I'll tell you, my husband has a testimony in that, and he's not with us, obviously, here today, but he met someone about 3 years ago, actually prayed with them on the street, and here recently saw him again, and, you know, the person recognized him, came up to him, and just let him know what a blessing it was to be able to, you know, commune with him at that time, and so that right there is just amazing. As far as the supplies and their reaction to everything that we give out, you know, they're grateful. They're grateful people. And
extremely grateful, yeah.
Sometimes they just want someone to sit there with them and talk to them, you know? I mean, and sometimes all it could take is just a couple of open ears. And Marisa, or I think, is Jennifer on the line now? Or
No, she hadn't called in yet. So if you can contact her between, we're talking with Marisa, so see if you can get in touch with her. And so we'd like to bring her in now.
I'll do that. Okay. I'll do that while you and Joel go ahead and talk to them.
Oh, you're going to contact her. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, just with the events coming up soon, we have another one next weekend.
Okay, great. Tell us about that then. I'm excited about events like this.
Well,
and I'll tell you why after you share this with us.
Where we think
we're partnering with. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're actually going to be partnering with you, Joel, for the health screen event that you're doing. Sorry. I may have confused Marisa and not let her know that it's actually, go ahead.
Well, thank you.
Got you, yeah.
So, Joel, if you could tell us more about that.
Yeah.
Which I sure will. Yes, we're going to be hosting an event next weekend. It's a mammogram testing that's going to be sponsored by the ministry, which I'm a part of, Granny's Place Ministry. We're going to be in the Duncanville area at Free Will Baptist Church. That location is 1530 Duncanville Road there. And so the event is going to be from 9 to 1, and we have a host of health facilities to come out, and it's a free mammogram testing for the women. Also, we're going to have other things also that's that available to the community. So we encourage everyone to come on out, and we'll give you more information on that. We have a flyer available. I don't have that with me right now, but we're in for a great time. Dallas Life is going to come out and have some women to come out and be a part of what we're doing. We also have some other health agencies that's going to come out. Someone from the Salvation Army is going to be there. We have the fire department, Duncanville Fire Department. They're going to come out, and also Parkland and Methodist are going to be a part of it. So we're looking forward to having you to be a part of this great event, Beat the Street Ministry.
We are really looking forward to that as well. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a whole lot of helping hands involved, and that's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Absolutely,
And I'm glad you said that, because people don't realize that it's enough ministry for everyone, and you know, and that way everyone can practice their gift and their talent, and also we do it unto the Lord, because as we go out in ministry, sometimes we feel like, hey, someone else is already doing this; they don't have a need for that, but that's not right. There's always a need for ministry, you know, and that's what God created us to be about, you know. He said, hey, now go ye therefore. And he compelling us and asking us to go out and share the good news. Is it no more than just a smile, just a hello, or just something, just a helping hand? You know, I do jail ministry and I do juvenile ministry. And those men and women that are in juvenile and jail, they feel like that all hope is lost. They feel like that don't nobody love them. They feel like that God didn't even turn their back on them. But we that are restored need to encourage those men and women, hey, God still love you. That God is going to do great things for you. And what they're in now and what they're involved in is only temporary. But it's up to them to choose that, you know, to choose a way out.
Absolutely.
You know? And with your ministry.
They need our men. They need that.
Yeah, and with your ministry team, you're giving them a way out. Because after you give them a health assessment and get them some things, you also get them words of encouragement. As you were sharing earlier, you pray for them and pray with them.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, too. You were asking, you know, how they feel, or, you know, I think it goes a long way because of, you know, the lifestyle that they lead. They don't get a whole lot of smiles their way. They don't get a whole lot of encouragement, any encouragement mainly. You know, so I think just the smallest thing of showing somebody humanity alone goes such a long way. They makes them feel like a person again to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks volumes, and that swells in their hearts. And that's what we're, you know, that's where it lies. You know, that's where it's all about, you know, from heart to heart. And that's where, you know, he lies in us. So I just think that it the smallest little gesture, you know, like you said, a smile alone can change the way somebody feels about themselves. And once they feel different about themselves, then they're possibly unstoppable.
Yeah, that is so. This course I want to propose to both of you. Now, as you go out and you do this ministry, there's a sense of being. Let me put it this way: there's a level of uncertainty, there's a level of discomfort. How do you manage to work through those things there? Because you're down in Tent City, you was down there with people just, mm-hmm. you know, they have their own law, their own rule, their own regulation. But yet you went down there and you did what God asked you to do. How do you manage to work through that?
You have to first, I think. Well, it's faith, and it's also, you know, it has to be somewhat organized, you know. There are many moments of each outreach that can be, or, you know, appear to be not as organized. But, you know, having an understanding, like, for instance, with the last event, you know, we were able to meet somewhere at a different location and then go to the actual location of Tent City. And we had those talks of what to do during those uncomfortable moments. You know, what the what kind of buzzwords, you know, we weren't going to use, how to handle certain situations. So being proactive and planning, you know, they say, you know, if you're not planning, then you're planning for failure. So, it's the biggest part. But Marisa said it first, you know, the faith initially. We know that we're going to have a hedge of protection over us. You know, the Bible says that, you know, the angels of Yahweh are encamped around those who fear him.
And you know, and that was so true there, because you have to be organized. You have to be use wisdom in order to do ministries like that. But it's also a blessing on the opposite side of that, on the flip side of that. That's a blessing to be able to go out and do these things here. Now, you say you have been organized for a number of years, but yet you keep doing what you do. How do you manage to work through all this difficulties? Because, you know, we all have our own personal problems and our own issues, but yet you and your ministry team continually to go forth and do what you're set out to do.
I think the best thing that our ministry does is works together. You know, if we have a gap somewhere, because life does happen, we all have families. Some of us have large families. So, you know, things do happen, and we're not always just right there and available, but the thing is someone always steps in, you know, and we do try to stay organized, and Marisa helps us in a large way with that by helping us, you know, get back to who was on what events, and we kind of try to set it out at the beginning of the year and have a goal, not just to be there during those big, you know, holidays where everybody's out feeding, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, you know, we kind of try to assign those early in the year so that we have a plan. Again, it goes back to that planning. You know, Marisa, can you help me on with that? Add anything?
Well, yeah, you know, it's a matter of communication as well. You know, we all try to come together because, like, you know, like you said, it just started as a group of friends from school. And then it grew from there as friends that work together and, you know, and then their husbands and wives and et cetera. And it's a matter of really coming together and planning things out. And like she said, there are times where life happens. And there's even times where, you know, as a group, we're like, wow, you know, we haven't done anything in a little bit. And it makes you feel it when you don't, when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, in a sense. So planning is a major, major part of that. And I think, you know, the last thing that we did was kind of, we put somebody, I guess our team has grown that much where we have somebody almost on every single month. So once a month, it's somebody's responsibility to plan that outreach or come up with what we're doing for that time frame. whether it be once a month or every other month, that we have something going on. And that really helps a lot, knowing who would wear and having our little phone tree and all that good stuff. It really goes a long way.
And not only
You know, I want to ask you this question here. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you this question here. Now, as you said, if we're coming up on the holiday time of the year, and we know a lot of ministries, a lot of other programs, they kind of come out, and they have a lot of resources, and they have a lot of people to help them out. How do you manage to conduct your ministry, or do you go into hiatus during the next couple of months? Because I have a ministry. We're challenged during this time of year. We do it all year long, but November, December, a lot of other ministries pick it up. So how do y'all manage to work through those, or do you – what is your formula on getting through the next couple of months?
It's really the same thing that we do during the year. What we have coming up next is, of course, going to be a seating towards the end of November. How we typically do that, we band together and put together, I think the usual number in the past year, 2 years, has been 300, anywhere from 150 to 300 plates that we'll prepare in advance. And whether that take them to, you know, Fort Worth or Dallas, I know it's on the books now, but I don't know exactly where yet. But and we're also gathering socks, blankets, undershirts for the month of December. That's our big push for then. Marisa?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of the same scenario, because a lot of different programs do come out in the holidays. So whether you're doing a toy drive or a coat drive or whatnot, but that's the thing is, you know, everybody has a different circle that they are talking to or you know, lending their ear. So I don't think there's a shortage by any means of people still willing to give at that time either, or people still needing something. So the feedings are always great. And then, of course, with the cold weather coming up, that the drives for, you know, like I said, blanket socks. Those items are, yeah, those will always be needed as well. With the weather we're having now, I don't know, we might need to do a poncho drive at this point and see if we can't come up with something.
We've done that before, too.
Rainy weather.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we did.
Ponchos are great. So, they love them. Another thing that they love that people don't really think about is bags, plastic bags. We try to get donations to plastic bags. We'll have some on hand. Because in some of these larger events, especially out in Fort Worth, where they have, similar to Tent City, but it's more organized for sure. They'll have several ministries out during these times of the year. Just like you were saying, Joel, everybody is out doing something, and they'll receive so much stuff they can't carry it with them. You know, so little things like that.
And you know what? You said something too, because as we go out, we do try to make sure that we have bags or have a surplus of bags, because people do need the bags. And we have to realize a lot of times people are living homeless, and they don't have an opportunity to wash their clean clothes. So they try to take some spare clothes with them. And this time of year, like now when it's raining, people's feet get wet, and then they have on these socks, and they you know what I'm saying? So socks is very important this time of year.
Absolutely.
Tell me now, your ministry, you started out, when I first met you, it was in the Fort Worth area. And now you come over here to Dallas and you minister there. And that's no boundary. That's what I'm alluding to. That's no boundary for your ministry. Is there any difference between ministering in Fort Worth and Dallas based on the needs and the environment or whatever? So let's talk about that.
I used to think there was. I did. Prior to us partnering with Raul over at Breath of Life, or Breath of God Ministries. Prior to us partnering with him, I really felt like Dallas really lacked a lot of organization that I saw in Fort Worth. There's a place where many ministries volunteer at called Unity Park. And
right, I remember you mentioned that before.
It's very organized, very organized. And I really hadn't seen that on the Dallas side. Now I know there's several organizations in Dallas, Office Street Shelter, and then anyhow, the point was is I didn't really see it on the street so much. So when we ended up partnering with Raul over there, I really saw that, that same organization. So now I can say that they are more equal, just in my eyes at least, and from what I've seen, you know.
Yeah, and as far as the needs, I mean, the needs are the same. You know, it doesn't matter if you're living on the streets in Dallas or if you're living on the streets in Fort Worth or if you're living on the streets in, you know, D.C., the needs are the same no matter what. You know, you need food. Food is the main thing that we try to focus on because, you know, whenever you don't have food, that is when your mind will start playing tricks on you and you will get yourself into some situation. Or you'll go to something else, a bottle, a needle, or whatever it is that's available for you, so you'll forget that you are hungry. So just to try to keep people from being so hungry, I think, is a really ultimate goal, just because that can really, really change your mindset on things.
You know, that is so true, because when I first started doing ministry and we was putting together programs like what you're doing, and people say, why are we feeding them? Why this? I said, why not? You can't go out and just share the gospel and not feed them because their mind are really wandering in it. And, you know, and the other stuff is kind of like luring them into Christ Jesus. Let them know, hey, in spite of your shortcoming, God still loves you to the point that he's willing to feed you and clothe you. Mm-hmm. What manner of love is this? You know, it isn't us. It isn't the ministry team. This is Christ. We're working through, you know, mm-hmm. Christ is working through us. And as you alluded to earlier, we're the hands and the feet and the heart of God. And so I like the way you put that there, because sometimes people say, well, there's someone else's feet. And a lot of times it puts a smile on my face, because if we are doing ministry, we're in a location, we look around, we see other ministries, maybe one or two ministries that are doing the same thing in that general area.
Yeah, And that's great.
And you know, and some people that's not accustomed or in tune with ministry like that, they start getting a little jealous or saying, why they got to be over here? They know we come here at this time and they ain't here at this time. And I have to tell them, so, hey, it's okay. This is a God thing, you know.
Yeah.
What are your take on that? Because I know sometimes people may ask you about that. Well, why we go over there? Because they already got two or three ministries in this area. We don't need to be there. So how do your ministry work through things like that?
Honestly, Joel, I don't ever think that we've ever even felt like that. I mean, you know, there may be somebody on the team that thinks otherwise, but I doubt it, because
I don't think
more
so.
Than Mary,
yeah, no.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I don't. Well, that's not even a thought that would cross the mind.
Well, I hope this don't come up in y'all next ministry meeting.
Me too.
Joel was just talking about that. Now you.
I'll look out for it now.
Now, you had made mention now about the Thanksgiving dinner. We know that this time of year a lot of people put together some things. So how do you go about preparing it and distributing it to the men and women? Because we realize that we have to go to them. We realize a lot of times we go to those places where people are just nestled in hallways and up under the bridges and stuff like that. How do your ministry team attack something like that?
Well, that's actually how we started. You know, the very first outreach we ever did was just a matter of, you know, man, we have all this food. So we, you know, we found a location to prepare it. We banded together the morning of and packed it away and hit the streets and did what we call bleeding the block. You find them, and you do find them. You know, the very first one we ever did, we found them in a little shelter that I don't even think the shelter is still open. But, I mean, it was just, it was, gosh, it's hard for me to even put words into it, but it was amazing, and that's how it is. It's just we figure out what our goal is, and we, you know,
divide and conquer
the location to prepare it. Exactly. And it's really, it's assembly line style. You know, like, we have been blessed to be able to have the locations we have to do this at, and we just knock it out, you know.
And then the word does spread. You know, so once, you know, a few people start walking around with some meals, then, hey, where did you get that? You know, where did that come from? And it spreads, and they will flock to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, after the meals have been given out and the health assessment have been made, what other information are you able to give the people that you encounter? Are you able to give them other information that they could use from, you know, at another time?
So speaking on the health screening event, I guess that's what you're talking about specifically. We were blessed to have an actual medical doctor on hand with us this past time. So she was able to one-on-one consult with them, of course, free of charge, no charge to any of this to them. And we also had Jennifer, one of our members, prepared a trifold for them. So just a little pamphlet with information on the county locations, phone numbers, and addresses. I think there might even been a little map to tell you how to get there, and as well as some basic definitions of things like hypertension, you know, just lots of different pieces of information. But that's something tangible that they can take away with. As well as writing down their numbers. So let's say, for instance, someone is at our screening, and then they go to your screening next, and there's a, you know, at least they'll have something to look at, because it's not like they go somewhere where they have a file, you know.
Right.
That's good. That's something I had never thought of, but see, and that's great. Now tell me now, as you do this ministry and you see men and women that you had encountered at one stage of life, and now they're back with their families and they're doing something different, and they're giving you words of encouragement of how this ministry had made a difference. Do you have testimonies like that to share with our listening audience?
I don't personally have any.
Yeah. That would be great if I did. It would be great.
I know, yeah. I would love to run into the same people and see a different situations in their lives happening. That would be a beautiful, beautiful thing. So maybe that's something we can definitely put out there and pray for.
It's one thing to be able to be a blessing. That's a blessing in itself. But to see somebody, you know, actually have fruit from, you know, whether it's just a piece of how ministry impacted, would just be a gigantic piece of fruit.
You know, Rena, I ask that because, God have a way of giving us little words of encouragement. And as we get a little weary and we get a little frustrated with what we're doing. I'm saying not physically frustrated, but mentally, because we know that that's a large task, and we do the best we can. And sometimes we don't get to see the outcome of it because we may encounter these people, and a lot of times we do just that one time. You may see a family in need one time. You may see a man or a woman just at one time. So we, as believers, have to make an impact on their lives to let them know that even though we may not ever see them again, but God would never leave them nor forsake them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's an encouraging thought to know that it's not always just the same people, because then you'd think that, you know, you would hope that they are on a better path, so no longer in need in that way. So you wouldn't see him again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, we're getting ready to wrap up this interview. I want to thank you, ladies, for what y'all are doing. I want to thank you for the ministry team because, you know, it makes me smile because as I do this ministry, sometimes you feel like that you're all alone. Sometimes you feel like that the work is too great. And God give us a bit of words of encouragement to let us know we're not alone. You know, a lot of times when we put together these programs, we say we don't have enough, but we don't need enough. Because God, He paid it out, and He'll bring in other ministry to walk beside you. And that's what encouraged me when I see people doing the same thing I'm doing. I said, oh, God is sending me some help. I look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say this, you know, that this is our territory, because we don't own any of this. We don't possess any of this. But God said, hey, I see so much in what you're doing. I'm sending you some help. You know, I had an opportunity to meet a ministry a few months ago. They was called Lunch Bag Hashtag. Have y'all ever encountered that ministry on the street?
No.
It was a group of young ladies like yourself, and they decided to make a difference, and they decided to just put together some sandwiches, chips, and cookies and things and put them in lunch bags and just take them out and just feed the homeless. And little did they know that they were doing something that had already been established in another part of the country. They sit up, they was watching TV, and this commercial came on with a group of people who was going out shopping, and they were buying little items, sandwiches, chips, and sodas, and everybody was excited, like they were going to have a party. And they all went to the one resident. They started preparing these sandwiches, and they put them in bags, and they went out to the parks and things. And they said, wow, little did we know that what we're doing, someone else is doing the same thing. And I thought they were fascinating because God have a way of sending us information and confirmation that, hey, you're on the right path. And I want you to know that you're on the right path with your ministry. Now, tell us before we get out of here, how did the name come about? Because I love that name, Beat the Street.
Beat the Street Outreach. just something that we all came up with. That's what we were doing. We were trying to beat the streets. You know, we were trying to feed the people, to beat hunger that's on the streets right in front of us.
That is so, that's so powerful there.
We also go by BTSO.
Now, if someone wants to find out more information about you, before we let you get out of here, where can they go to find out more information, find out some of the events you're putting together, and also be a part of what's going on with Beat the Street Ministry?
Well, there's two things that you need to be part of Beat the Streets outreach, and that is a functioning heart and helping hands. That's it. There's no special qualifications, no entry fees, no annual member dues, nothing of that sort. So just you can find us on Facebook, Beat the Streets Outreach. You can from there you can also find our webpage, as well as any kind of contact information. Just reach out to us. Somebody will get in contact with you.
Oh, that sounds great there. That sounds great. We're looking forward to hearing more about what the ministry is doing and also seeing the ministry in action. You know, it does be a joy to see ministry. I'm going to tell you a little secret, that at ministries like yours, it made a difference in my life. I was homeless. I was addicted to drugs, and I went to events like this many years ago, and people just showed me love through the ministry team. They didn't condemn me or beat me up. They didn't say, you know, say, hey, you know, you're here, and this is why all you're going to get, but they just showed me love. And I said, what manner of love is this that people look past my faults and failures? So there must be something about this God. There must be something about the word of God that touched their hearts to come out and help someone. Mm-hmm. Because we realize that when we helping people, sometimes they don't understand. They may not even realize that this is God that's taking care of them, you know. And sometimes people are angry, they mad, they frustrated, but you still show them the love of Christ Jesus. And so I want to thank you and your ministry team for doing what you do, because it does make a difference. I'm the product of someone like you. I share with guys on the ministry that now, you know, they live in a great age because they got the little tents now. Back in the day, some time ago, people didn't have tents. They lived in boxes. They lived with mm-hmm. pallets. You remember seeing things like that, where people just had them have a pallet set up with blankets over there with large cardboard boxes. And now today they have the igloos that are watertight. But you know, those are just temporary shelters. And I always think about the Nation of Israel when they were traveling through the wilderness. They had these temporary shelters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I want you to think about that when you go to tent cities, that this
Absolutely.
Is all temporary. They tear them down, then they put them back up, and it's only temporary. Regardless of how long they've been there, the Nation of Israel traveled for what's that, 20 years, didn't they?
40.
They're 20 and then 40. So these things are temporary. So sometimes people feel like they've been in this their whole life. So we want them to realize that this is only temporary. So your ministry is letting these people know, and let the men and women know, that this is only temporary, that God still loves them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hallelujah.
And real quick,
yes, go right
for
in.
The people that are not on Facebook, the website address is streetsoutreach.org.
Thank you, Marissa.
Marissa, thank you very much. This has been a great interview. I've truly been blessed by what y'all had to share. Our listening audience through the phone line is lit up. I'm sorry we missed Jennifer, but tell her that she's always welcome. And you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing y'all next weekend over at our free mammogram testing in the Duncanville area. I'll send you some more information regarding that. But come one, come all, okay? And everything is going to be set up, and looking forward to a great time in the Lord. And encouraging our community, that God loves them, encourage our community to be involved in the life of other people. And that's what, you know, that's my motto of my program, is help change a life. But not just change a life in your name, but change a name in Christ Jesus' name. Because it was the gospel that changed us. Someone told us about this. We just didn't do it on our own. Someone showed us love. They showed us the love that comes from above, you know. And so thank you for what you're doing. And I'm looking forward to seeing more and hearing more about the ministry.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, you're
yes,
a blessing.
Thank
again,
you,
the ministry and how we can get in touch with you.
Go with it, Marissa.
The website is www.streetsoutreach.org. And that's probably the best way. Or, again, our Facebook page is Beat the Streets Outreach.
God bless you. Thank you very much. It's been a great interview. Looking forward to seeing you all next weekend, if Lord permitted. So God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, man, oh, what a great interview that we had there with the Beat the Street Ministry team now with Christian and Maria and Melissa. I'm sorry, Melissa. And that was a great interview that we had with them. And so we encourage you to follow up on this ministry. We encourage you to be a part of what this ministry is all about. Amen. We encourage you to continually to do what God allows you to do in the ministry there. And we got another event coming up next week, as we had shared with you earlier, regarding our free mammogram test in the Duncanville area. That's going to be at the First Free Will Baptist Church. We're having quite a few vendors to come out there, and we're going to have some health assessments. And so we want to encourage everyone to come on out, bring a loved one out, because, you know, it's important for us to take ownership of our health. It's important for us to use the tools and the things that's available to us. And it's free. And it's free. And so I want to thank the ministry team, Beat the Street Ministry, because as they go out, I see that what Christ is doing in the life of that ministry, how men and women's lives are being touched and how it's been turned around. They were over at the Breath of Life ministry a couple of weeks ago. They had partnered with us, and this is their second year, and it was a joy to see her again. It's like old friends getting together and just recalling and recounting things that had happened, and I seen how God had blessed the ministry, how the ministry had enlarged, and she was telling us about a particular number of people that were in the ministry now, and how they are partnered with another health facility. And it ain't nobody but God. It's nobody but God. We want to thank Christian for what she's doing, for her words of encouragement, and for how she's continually to go out to the hedges and highway and compelling men and women to take ownership of their health, to let them know that there's nothing too hard for God. Because I can imagine sometimes people, they are living on the street, and their living condition isn't quite right, and then they are hungry, then they got health issues, and that's a big burden right there. But then they could know without a shadow of doubt that there's a ministry that's coming to see about them. There's a ministry that's taking care of their need. There's a ministry that's encouraging them. Hey, this isn't the end of you. Now go to a doctor. You know, Jesus prayed. He prayed for people, and he said, now go show yourself to the priest. And that's what this type of ministry and ministries like that does. We just take care of them for that time, but we say, hey, now you go. Now there's a job out there for you. There's a place to stay. There's a health physician that can handle you this case that you're presenting to them. And so we want to encourage you that is that's thinking about ministry, to be a part of ministry. We encourage you to follow up on ministry. You know, God has so much to offer. I do jail ministry, and I was down at the Loose Derrick Jail just Thursday, and I was sharing with our young men out of the book of Mark, the 4th chapter, the 35th verse. It was talking about how Jesus had encountered a storm, and the storm was so great that it almost capsized the boat, and how the disciples that were with Jesus, they woke him up, that Jesus was down asleep in the middle of at the bottom of the boat, and they said, hey, woke him up and said, Lord, are you not concerned that we might perish? And he got up, and he said, oh, you a little faith. And he spoke, and he spoke to the waves, and he spoke to the wind, and they said everything settled down. I like to think about in our own life, we have storms that are roaring in our life. We have situations that seem to be uprooting us. Winds of adversity. We have things that seem to be uprooting us, that just blowing us, and just got us just confused and overwhelmed. And what a comfort it is to be able to take that to Jesus and let Jesus calm the storm. And I got to thinking about Jesus calmed the storm and the storm in me, because we all are facing some things. It's none of us exempt from calamities, from mishaps, from tragedies. We all are subject to these mishaps of life. But God is greater than anything that we could ever face. So that's why we have to tell our men and women that's in jail, that's homeless, that's addicted to drugs and alcohol, that God is greater than that storm that's raging inside of them, that storm of addiction that seems like that they just can't fight it, that storm of alcoholism, when they see that they just can't resist it. Those storms say, hey, they're killing me, they're rushing me, I'm going to drown, I can't fight this thing out. God is greater through his son Jesus than the storms of financial woes, Adino, storms come in many ways and many fashions. So whatever storm you're facing today, I want you to allow Jesus to speak to that storm in your life. I want you to allow Jesus to calm that raging sea in your life. Jesus calmed the storm, and he also could calm the storm in you and in me. And how do we go about doing that? By realizing that there's nothing too hard for God. By realizing that he's there with us. As he was in the bottom of the boat, Jesus is always there with us. He's in the midst of the storm, is what I'm saying. And I tell those young men that when I encounter them in jail, that Jesus is right there with them. Yes, you see me on a weekly or monthly basis, but it's really not me, it's Christ that's in me. He comes down here to visit you. You know, the scripture said, but when I was in jail, you visited me. I said, what? Then they said, well, we do street ministry. They said, when I was hungry, you fed me. What? And when I was naked, you clothed me. I said, what? Yeah, you know, you can't miss Christ no matter what you do. From in jail, from being hungry, from having clothes. He's always available. And so I encourage you to be a part of some ministry. I encourage you to be a part of our Father's business. You know, this ministry is an informational type ministry. We have different ministries and ministry leaders to come on to talk to you about what's going on in ministry. We just finished our interview with Beat the Street Ministries, a ministry that goes out and take care of the needs of our brothers and sisters. We're also a part of the Breath of Life Ministry located in the Dallas area. We feed and minister to men and women twice a week on Friday nights and then on Sundays. And so on Friday nights it's from 4 to 7 in the South Dallas area. It's a place called Tent City where we minister over there. We have a group of men and women that come over there from different churches, but they all have the same heart because they're serving the same God. And so we have a nice facility set up over there. We have a young lady comes by. She's our musician. She plays some uplifting spiritual music to encourage our men and women. We have different men that come over and give messages and women, and they preach, and sometimes they give words of encouragement, sometimes they give testimony. And so the ministry is open to all that come. And also we have a testimony from the residents down at Tent City, because God, I want to hear from them too. And you heard me say from time to time that Jesus asked Peter, he said, now Peter, you know, Satan asked permission to sift you like wheat, but I restored you, Peter, that when you are restored, you to strengthen your brother. And then he also asked Peter, he said, Peter, who do men say that I am? That's a time for you to speak up. Who is God? Is he the one through Jesus that calmed the storm in you? Say, I know he can calm the storm. The scripture said that he did the natural storm. He also did that spiritual storm that was raging in me. And so we want you to realize that it's nothing too hard for God. And so, and as we was talking about different ministries, we also have artists that come on here. I think so much is Miss Vera Squire. She's a great supporter of the program. I have a great book. She had two books. It Wasn't an Apple. Amen. The Story of Eve. And I love that title, because sometimes we get it twisted. And then she have another one said Black Gumbo. This story of a city in ruins about New Orleans. And we know we just celebrated 10 years of that city that going through that terrible storm, Katrina. And so she lived through that storm, and so she have a book and a powerful testimony about how God does. And with her book, it's a book of poetry, and I love that. And so we get her on here from time to time, and she shares her book. And so we're looking forward to it. And I would like for you to go back and listen to our archive and go to the YouTube and see what God is doing with her in that ministry. Amen. So we encourage you to go check our archive section out. You can do that by going to blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place, and it'll pull up our archive section there. And we have quite a few shows that we've been doing. We've been doing this for a number of years. And so we got episodes that, wow, man, the episodes that blow my mind, episodes that men and women, they just shared their ministry, they poured their heart out. We have a few episodes that men are no longer with us anymore. God have called them home. And those, I think so much of them, because even in the midst of their storm, they were still able to do the thing that God had them to do. I think so much of a young man, he's not here anymore, and he wrote a book about finishing in four named Miguel. And I did not know that Miguel wasn't going to be here a year after he was on the show. He became a very good friend of the show. And I play his interview from time to time. It makes me smile because he definitely had a heart and a passion for what he was doing. And he was telling our young men that you can finish college in 4 years or less. And you don't have to be a professional student. Amen. Then we had another young man that did a community garden in the Fort Worth area. His name was Gerald. And Gerald is no longer with us, but he was still doing the thing that God asked him to do. I got to thinking about my life and your life. We don't know how much time we have. But while we have blood running warm in our veins, let us go about our Father's business and do the best that we can. Let us help change a life in Jesus' name. I know some young men that I do juvenile ministry with, and those young men are no longer in the juvenile facilities, and some of them are doing good. And some of them I just don't see anymore. But I have a measure of comfort that those men that I don't see anymore, they're doing well because they can remember that there's some ministry that came down there and shared with them. Didn't beat them up, but challenged them that there was a better way of life, challenged them that they could be successful. Because you know what? People know what they downfalls are. They know what they're up against. They know the things that hold them hostage. And yes, you can bring to their remembrance, but guess what? They know better than you. But you can't tell them, yes, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I'd be just like you. And guess what? God is no respecter person. What he done for one, he'll do for another. And so we would like you to give us a call on our call-in number. The number is 310-982-4126. And you, too, can call into the show and voice your comments and your opinion. We had quite a few calls this morning, so we want to thank the callers for calling in. We want to thank our guests for making themselves available to be on our weekly Internet program. And before we get out of here, we'd just like to let you know that we appreciate you listening to the program. We appreciate you being a supporter of the program by just listening and going to the archive section and listen to the different shows and just maybe passing the word along or just encouraging someone, hey, that there's a ministry that's available for you. There's a ministry that's making a difference in men and women's lives. So we encourage you to do our to be a part of that. And we have another young man that we had interviewed some time ago called Aaron Thomas. He ran he was a part of a ministry some time ago that he did a book. I think that I'm sorry, it was a magazine. He have a magazine, a magazine that's located in the Fort Worth area there, and we're gonna try to bring him back on to let him encourage our young men and women to be successful in everything that they do. And you, too, can be a guest on the show. If you want to refer someone to this Internet program, please give me a call at the number above at 310-982-4126. Or you can call me on my cell. My number is available, and you can just call me anytime. My cell number is 214-505-6526. You, too, can call me and set up an interview to be on the program. And if you know someone that you say, hey, I think that they will make a great guest. They have a lot of information. And then they too can be a guest on the show. And not so much as information, but just giving your testimony. Because we had a young man that was incarcerated for 30 years, and he came on the program, and he was a part of the Innocent Project, and where he was wrongly convicted. And that sentence was upheld for 30 years, and he got out. And he said because of his incarceration, it drew him closer to Christ Jesus. And now he's able to go out and share with other men what does says the Lord. And so he's, you know, and now he's on the battlefield for the Lord. And it's amazing how things happen to you and turn your life around. And I share with you and all our listening audience about my time of being addicted to drugs. I look back, it's just like it was yesterday, but it's been over 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. I done lost track. But I realize what people are going through that, and that lifestyle. I know how sometimes they wants to get out and they work towards getting out. Then all of a sudden something happened to them in the middle of the night. The old habits, old mindsets overtake them, and they get up and they act on those things. And David said in Psalms 19, Lord, don't let my presumption sin have dominion over me. And I share with those men something we can't help for thinking about, because that's just the way we're built, but we don't have to act on those things. David said, don't let those things have dominion over me, but let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in our sight. You know, we got to ask God to help us out. You know, as he was in the middle in the bottom of the boat, you know, the disciple woke him up and said, Lord, Lord, help us. You know, we got to tell Jesus to help us. He don't sleep nor slumber, but sometimes we put him in the back. And we need to bring him forward and say, hey, Lord, I can't work this thing. I need you to help me out. And so please come and help me out. And guess what? He's able to do a thing that you can't even imagine. So as we get ready to wind down this program, we got 4 minutes before this program ends. We're going to play a short portion of a show with Mr. Thomas, that he's a publisher. And so we're going to play that, and then we'll get back with you shortly. So enjoy the show. Thank you for supporting what we're doing. Help change a life in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's definitely something for Christians across the board. I'm not looking for anyone to kind of label it or anything, just anyone that loves to be encouraged, inspired, and definitely looking for something to keep them entertained. And then also remember that God is present in their lives.
Hey, man, that's great, that's great. As I'm looking at your magazine here, what a beautiful magazine here. What a beautiful layout you have. As you are publishing this magazine, what targeted audience are you attempting to reach?
Well, again, like I said before, I don't really want to feel like I'm targeting one particular group. Because the reason why I say that, I feel like as Christians, there is no label. I feel like God is across the board. He wants everyone to know the message. And so as By Design Magazine grows, of course, I may seem like I, you know, look at more the African-American community because I can identify with that because I am African-American. But my thing is, as Christians across the board, I want everyone to be able to, and even of all ages, to be able to identify with By Design.
All right, that's great. Now, give us some history on this magazine. How did this come about? Because this is nice. I'm looking at it now. This is beautiful.
Well, By Design is now, we're almost 2 years old. In August 2013, we will be 2 years. And how I got started is, By Design is, it started out as an event planning services because we would do and still do Christian events. And what I wanted to do is I was meeting a lot of individuals that was in the Christian realm, and they was doing, we were doing different dance ministries, artistry such as poetry. And each one of these individuals had a story, because I would always ask them or get feedback behind them. And what I wanted to do is place all those stories, because everyone has a journey. And it was very inspirational to get those stories. And I combined all those things that I enjoyed doing, music, dance, singing. And I asked God to give me something that would help people and encourage people. And he gave me this vehicle and By Design.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now tell me about some of the articles. How do you go about getting your articles for your magazine?
A lot of times the articles, I sit down pretty much throughout the month, and I write down my ideals, and I really take the time to go to my different classes, such as church, and I look and I listen to different things that's going on. And a lot of times the articles are brought up either because there's issues I feel that need to be addressed, or either there's things that we as Christians maybe need to, look at and or understand with a little bit more understanding. And so I get those articles. Spiritually, I ask for answers, and then also just listening what's going on in people's lives.
All right. I know that you're not doing this yourself. Now, what about your staff? How many people you have on your magazine staff?
We have a team of 5 to 6 people. And, of course, I could not do this alone. But I do have a great editor-in-chief, Vanessa Lane. I have, of course, the team that writes.
Hope you enjoyed that interview there with Aaron Thomas there, with the magazine host and editor. and we pray that you enjoyed it. We give you we encourage you to go back and listen to that interview in its entirety. It's on our archive section. Please and take a moment to just go to our archive section and just recall some of the shows at which we had and presented to you. And we pray that you'll be blessed as
forward.
We get ready to get on out of here. We want to
all
thank
right.
you.
Now, Tim, what can we pick this magazine up at?
What God is doing in the lives of his people. As we get ready to get out of here, we want you to be safe. We want you to be encouraged. But we also want you to be a blessing to someone. Let someone be a blessing to you. You know, let you know that you're not in this alone. Today, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. Have a great day in the Lord. As we get ready to get out of here, we have a word for our gracious Heavenly Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus. The Lord, we thank you for Christian and Melissa, dear Lord, for being a part of the program today. Dear Lord, how they are making a difference in the lives of men and women that beat the street ministry, dear Lord. How that ministry, dear Lord, have banded together and to do the thing that which you would ask them to do. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless them, get them the resources, get them the mindset to continue to do what you ask them to do. We thank you for our guest that was on this morning, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that we're doing things honorable and pleasing to you, dear Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray these things. Amen.
There is a word especially for you when you think you're about